Many of you are having difficulty understanding how to practice submission and have talent. You'll have to speak with Brian and he'll explain that to you. Secondly, for the benefit of those of you who were not with us at Family Camp 2 last year, we did have the experience of listening to our brother Ernie Sarlo and then our brother Brian Gunning. So Jabe and I trust that you'll have somewhat of an uplifting experience this year. As Brian said, we're really good friends. And we trust, both of us, it will continue to stay that way. I want to begin this morning by turning again to the book of Psalms, Psalm 94, for two verses by way of introduction. Likely most all of you have, through your own study or through the ministry of God's Word, been over the story of Joseph. I'm thankful for the opportunities that I have had to hear ministry on this wonderful subject, articles that have been written concerning Joseph have been a great benefit and help in our study, along with those of our brethren who have written excellent books regarding this man. And I trust that this week, that as we refresh our minds and hearts concerning this one whom God deigned to place in responsibility at a very young age, and who guided his complete pathway, as we have just been singing, may be an encouragement and a blessing to all of our hearts. Psalm 94:12 says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked." I mentioned Saturday evening that the heading we would use for this morning's lesson was regarding adversity. And I'm sure that to some degree or another, we have all experienced this in our Christian pathway. And as you've come to camp this week, perhaps you've come with some of the burdens of adversity in your life. And yet we discover from these two verses that there is a blessing, there is a happiness for the individual who recognizes the chastening hand of God and allows the Lord to continue to teach him out of the law of his word. And that there will be rest from days of adversity. As we enter the story of Joseph at the age of 17, he had already experienced some turmoil and upset in his life. I think he had learned from his father Jacob concerning his great-grandfather Abraham and the promises of God. He had learned about his grandparents, Isaac and Rebekah, had learned that they had made a great start in trusting and serving God. And yet there had been a period when they seemed to get sidetracked from the will of God. And as parents, they began to get involved in what we would term parental favoritism. And of course, it shows up in the life of Joseph as well. I think Joseph would know of his father's experience at Bethel when he met God there. That very, very important point in the life of Jacob. And yet he too had experienced days of adversity, difficulties along the roadway. What shall we say to the clear description that is given to us in the Word of God of Jacob and his wives and his sons and daughter who were born in that series of events? Difficult for us to understand. Not in any way in opposition to the truth of God's Word concerning one man and one woman together forever. Nevertheless, in the purposes of God, all that was allowed to take place in order that Joseph might come on the scene. And so if, for instance, at the present time there is some specific situation for you or for me, and you say, that's my day of adversity, then perhaps we can learn as we move along through the story of how God worked in the life of this particular individual. And so we'll go to the book of Genesis. I want to read just briefly from chapter 29, where we discover the detail of Rachel, Joseph's mother. Verse 17, while Leah was tender-eyed, Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. There was a very deep, a very special love from Jacob to Rachel. A lady who watched while others bore children when she could not. Yet desperately she wanted to know God's purpose in her life, to allow her to bring forth her own child. And so in chapter 30 and verse 22, we find these wonderful words. God remembered Rachel. And if your particular circumstance is wondering at times whether God has forgotten you, whether God is even concerned about the particular area in your life that you struggled with and are struggling with, remember his words to this woman, Rachel. God remembered her. But more importantly, God hearkened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. The late Mr. David Craig, in his excellent book entitled The Coat of Many Colors, says about this particular segment, remember, God's delays are not God's denials. And I think that's an important lesson for us to learn. We so want everything to happen now. We so want our prayers answered now. We so want God to lead us now. But at times, God asks us to wait. Seemingly, he is denying the petition of our hearts. But no, it is simply a delay. For his time, his perfect timing, will come in every situation. It's then over in chapter 35 that we read, Verse 16, they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel again travails, with hard labor. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. That was the promise of God to her. What was about to happen, it was not necessary for God to say so. He simply says, Don't be afraid. Thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, when her soul was in departing, for she died, she called his name Benoni. His father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. With that little background, we come to chapter 37. Joseph has experienced the loss of his mother, who no doubt had shown him deep, deep love. She had waited so long for her son. And then in the birth of his youngest brother, Rachel is taken away. The ways of God, past finding out, ways that are perfect, ways that we must be prepared to receive as from his gracious hand. Chapter 37, Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. The lad found himself with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Some of the turmoil and difficulty of this family structure we've mentioned. Joseph for 17 years has been growing up in an environment of which he's learning about some of the things that have been taking place in years that are past, and no doubt wondering, as any teenager would. But now, called upon to go and to feed the flock, he finds himself amongst four of his brothers. The scriptures simply tell us, because of that time and experience, he brought to his father their evil report. I have no idea what that report was. Perhaps because of the very nature of those four boys and the way they acted, or what they talked about, how they conducted themselves, whatever it was, Joseph understood that it was evil. Joseph is beginning to show a remarkable understanding and ability in the ways and purposes of God, even at a very young age. I want to encourage young friends that are here today. God, who has come in and graciously reached and saved you by His grace at a young age, as He did with me, has done so for a purpose. In these very important and formative years, be they teens or early 20s, what great opportunity there is for you, with dedication and determination, to develop your life in a way that will please your God. To begin to recognize evil when you see it or hear it, and flee from it. Report upon it if necessary, in love and in kindness. I think that Joseph brought this evil report not to be disparaging, not to be a tattletale, but feeling that Jacob needed to know. But that's all we're told in verse 2. And then we come to discover that not only had Joseph been bereft of a mother who loved him deeply, but he has lived for these years with a father who loved him more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. I'm sure that Israel's love for Joseph was deep, was sincere, was meaningful. Yet there's also the lesson here, I think, because it sometimes happens in families, that there is special consideration for one over the other. Statistics seem to indicate that it more often happens with the younger in the family. Having said that, I'm the baby of a family of six. Perhaps those of us who are here, who are in the same position, would like to get together for a chat. But I suppose, in fairness, that as parents learn the routines and abilities with children, and sometimes we find ourselves, perhaps in retrospect, a little bit hard on the first or second child compared to the others who come along. Nevertheless, it's important that if that is taking place, that we be prepared to remedy it, to take a look at it, and to be sure that there is not a favoritism that is going to create a difficulty. So that we as parents and grandparents today, now for some of us with the opportunity of sharing time and effort with grandchildren, as we did with our own, can seek to treat them on an equal basis, to look for their abilities, and to seek to strengthen them and help them and guide them in those important areas of their life. But again, to those of you who are younger, with courtship and marriage and family yet before you, take these years that God has given you. Begin to develop an understanding of the Word of God. Read it carefully. Read it often. Do it prayerfully. And ask God to teach you in order that you might have somewhat of the abilities and understanding that come forth in this remarkable young man called Joseph. Our brother Jabe has begun to present to us most effectively lessons from the opening chapters of this wonderful book of Genesis. And yet when we look at the balance of the 48 chapters, we discover it's all involved with people. As our brother Bill MacDonald points out in his commentary concerning the book of Genesis, those 48 chapters are filled with lessons concerning how God worked with individuals and within families, and the many lessons that are there for us. And what shall we say concerning our study of Joseph, to whom the Spirit of God has allowed some 12 to 13 chapters to be filled with the details of this remarkable story? I take courage from that, knowing that the God in whom I have placed my trust has a deep interest in me as an individual. Collectively, He has loved the world. Collectively, He loves each one of us with an everlasting love. But individually, He has that special interest in you and in me for whatever we can accomplish in the purposes of God. Two things that I want to set before you at the beginning this morning. Number one, that we might realize that God specializes in changing us and conforming us into His image, no matter what our background may be. We have nationality backgrounds here. We have other family dimensions within our group here this week. But God looks upon us as an individual redeemed by precious blood and wants that we might be prepared to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Background does not matter. how wonderful is the vastness of the love of God. Secondly, I believe that God understands our particular circumstances, and He wants to help us rise above any negative influences that may exist in our lives. Family members who don't know the Lord and don't appreciate our Christian stand, God is there to support, to strengthen, and to guide. Communities that don't understand how we function as a family and our interests in, as they would say, church and religion and all those kinds of things. But we move forward as a family, seeking to be a little light in the place that God has placed us. In the school, in the business community where we are found day by day, what a great opportunity the Lord gives us and says, whatever the negative influences are, whatever the adversities are that come upon you, remember, I'm allowing it for a purpose. It may be just for a short time, or it may be for a long time. That is my prerogative, says the Lord. Yours is to trust. Yours is to wait patiently. Yours is to allow me to work in your life day by day, step by step, and moment by moment. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Described for us by those who knew the styles and ways of the time as probably a fairly long and flowing garment with long sleeves, very brilliant and bright in its appearance. Not the sort of garment you would expect a shepherd boy to wear out on the hillside. Nevertheless, his father made it, gave it to him, and Joseph wore it. Verse 4 changes the picture. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, just a simple reminder that our children are watching and listening and observing how we handle brothers and sisters in the same family. When these brethren saw that their father loved him more than all the rest, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, I think there was clearly a difference between the demeanor and the trust of Joseph in the living God and that of the other brothers in the family. But just from a human perspective, what they have observed of this apparent special attitude of the father to Joseph and the special garment that he now wears before them, they begin to build up a hatred and an animosity in their hearts toward him. Withering emotions that are so devastating to human relationships, particularly when it happens within families. I do not boast this morning, but thank God for a measure in which we've been able to appreciate each other and have a warmth and a love in my family, in my wife's family, and in our children and their children. Something that we all appreciate and would thank God for, and others of you have experienced it as well. But I'm also aware that for others here today, perhaps the picture is quite different. For whatever reason, be it your Christian witness and testimony, or be it because of some untoward happening or situation, there is distress, there is hatred, there is animosity, there is friction, there is difficulty within the family circle. It's one thing when it happens on a one-to-one basis, but it's quite another thing when group hatred starts to take hold. such a serious situation? What can I do about it? How can I help to alleviate such a situation if it exists? These boys hated Joseph. They could not speak peaceably unto him. Let me tell you one thing. It won't go away with time. It won't just disappear. Some of you are aware that I'm involved in the care of the elderly. I am absolutely shocked and devastated at the number of family situations I'm called to enter into. Sometimes toward the elderly mother or father. Thankfully, not often. But more often, the frictions that exist within the family. And I discover that when one visits, the other one makes sure they're staying away. And I discover that when death comes, there is just all sorts of turmoil. And very often, a lot of serious tears and remorse because things haven't been straightened away. If you have any situation in your life, my brother, my sister, that you could even come close to terming within this word hatred, feelings, not speaking. If you are a Christian believer, one who has committed faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, then there is a responsibility upon our part to seek by God's grace to do something about that. As if that wasn't enough, Joseph dreams a dream. If that wasn't enough, he thinks he should tell it to his brothers who already hate him. And sure enough, they hated him just a bit more. He said, I want you to listen. This is the dream that I've dreamed. Let me tell it to you. They hardly knew what was coming, but they could expect something that they wouldn't like. He says, we were binding sheaves together in the field in my dream, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. Brethren responded and said, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And again, the words, they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. But he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed this dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He took that one and told it to his father and to his brethren again. His father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth? His brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Those are interesting words. His father observed the saying. It certainly didn't bring joy to the heart of Jacob. Yet, it was as though he tucked it in the back of his mind. You see, as we go through these chapters, we have the distinct advantage of knowing the end of the story. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Every one of us, whether young or old,
have been faithfully warned from the Word of God to be careful of the world. The world in which we live and move, the world in which we find our activity and our profession, but the world that hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says to the disciples, if you're sensing that, if you're sensing rejection, please understand, it hated me before it hated you. But I have chosen you out of the world, and therefore the world continues to hate you. Can we take a fresh sense of the delivering hand of God in our lives this morning? Think for just a moment of that day, that hour, that place, wherever it took place, when you turned from your sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We perhaps didn't understand it then. We've been learning about it ever since. But the world that hated the Savior that we've trusted now feels the same toward us. No time for the Lord of glory. And the pathway is one of adversity and difficulty each day that we live and move and walk and seek to stand firm for the cause of Jesus Christ. But we do so understanding, needing to understand thoroughly this that the Lord laid out before His disciples so that you and I could understand our position in Christ. But remember, it's the one that we've learned to love that makes it easy to endure any adversity from the world in which we live. He has loved us with an everlasting love. Is there someone in the room this morning and you've never responded to the claims of Jesus Christ? You've heard the message of the gospel, you've been amongst the Christians, you've been here at camp on a multitude of occasions, but still within your own heart of hearts, you know full well that you've never taken that step of faith and received God's Son as Savior and Lord. We're praying that that will happen this week. Whether it be someone sitting in this room or amongst the multitude of our children and grandchildren and young people who are here, we realize that there are many who don't know the Savior. We need to be in earnest prayer because each one of them are living in a world that hates the very name of Jesus Christ. But our prayer, and our sincere desire and our seeking that opportunity to share with them God's love may make all the difference. What a joy it would be for all of our time together this week if we were able to rejoice together in knowing of someone trusting the Savior. So we come to verse 13, and as I close this morning, Israel says to Joseph, "You know that your brethren are feeding the flock in Shechem. Come and I will send thee unto them." He said to his father, "Here I am." The obedient servant. A young man, and yet at his father's bidding, he's prepared to go amongst those that he's discovered hate him. No questions are asked, just the response, "Here am I." Thank God our Lord Jesus Christ came with exactly that same purpose and attitude before him into a world that rejected him, that hated him without a cause. at the appointed moment, he responded and said, "Here I am. I will go. I delight to do thy will, O my God." And so he came from the glories of heaven that he might go to the cross and give his life for you and for me. And so if in our Christian experience at the moment we're walking a pathway of some adversity, and there's so much more before Joseph, as you well know, let's remember that in this world that hates us because it hates Jesus Christ, we who have been saved by God's grace are able to live as lights and to shine so that others might come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us this morning, for the opportunity to look into Thy Word. We thank Thee for the clear presentation of the life of Joseph that is placed before us in the Word of God and the many lessons to be learned. We pray, Father, that Thou be pleased to bless Thy Word to all of our hearts this morning. We ask, Lord, that for any aspect in which it has touched our conscience, we pray that we might be prepared to deal with these issues in our life. We ask, Lord, that Thou wilt indeed remember Thy beloved people, the pathway of adversity that may be theirs to walk at the present time. Grant them patience and an understanding as they sense the delay from God's presence, as they've cried out in the past, that they may understand that God's timing is always perfect. And so we would rejoice in that and take fresh confidence in that. Again, we commit our day to Thee. We ask for safety, for guidance and direction in all that we do, and offer thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.